podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Captain Salah video and podcast from Fantasy Football Salah. Here we will discuss our plans to captain Salah in game week 11. My name is Joe and joining me each week this season to discuss the best armband candidates, it's Salah, is Fantasy Football Scout Deputy Editor Tom Freeman. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Joe. Conte news has obviously broke this morning and feels pretty exciting. So busy doing some work on that. It's going to be a scout report up on site tonight. But yeah, all good here, thanks.
Okay, before we spend 20 minutes discussing why we're captaining Mo Salah, I understand you want to mention something about Fan Team.
Yep, so there's a couple of daily Champions League games to have a look out for. I think there's a 16K prize pool tonight. And also a reminder to set your team if you're playing the knockout competition too. There's a 5:45 or a slightly earlier deadline tonight. I know there's a 5:45, a couple of kickoffs tonight, including Chelsea against Malmo. So make sure you get that done in good time.
Okay, let's move on to why we're captaining Mo Salah. Okay. So here, I was quite pleased to manage to do this picture here. So for those listening to the podcast, I've got a picture of Mo Salah pointing at an expected goals table of this season. And he's pointing specifically to Liverpool at the top. And they're not just top, they're in an absolute league of their own. Expected goals getting on for 25. The next nearest is Manchester City with 20. And West Ham with 18 just below them. Goals 29, next nearest, City again with 20. Big chances 41, next nearest, Manchester City with 28. I mean, it's basically Liverpool, they're the ones to go for. So in terms of the captaincy and strategy, so Salah has the form, Liverpool have the form, the fixture seems almost irrelevant, and last week his effective ownership was around 200% for among top managers. That means they all own him and they're all captained him. Basically, it's rank places lost if you don't captain him, and he does anything on the pitch and your own captain, your betting against Salah, fails. But is Salah really the best captain this week against a West Ham team that may well concede but are certainly not whipping boys?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Salah got an assist at the weekend. I think his fourth assist in a row. He had that disallowed goal as well. But it's that consistency we keep talking about. I think it's one blank now in the opening 10 game weeks. And it's that which is so appealing. Yeah. But I think this week it feels more important to talk about the opponents, okay. You know, West Ham. Because they've been excellent, not just this season, but all year. I think I was looking at an annual table, which just looked at this calendar year, and West Ham are ranked third throughout 2021. Only City and Chelsea have got more points so far. And they just look so good with, you know, Zouma and Ogbonna and Rice and Soucek, making it very difficult for their opponents. So I think it'll be a difficult game. Mm-hmm. I did have a look at some stats earlier on, which looked at where West Ham are conceding chances. And that offers a bit of encouragement to those going with Salah. From their left flank, West Ham's left flank, they've conceded 37 chances this season compared to 27 on the right and 20 down the middle. Mm-hmm. So if we are going to look for a player to go up against West Ham, you probably want them to be that right-sided player attacking West Ham's left. I remember last season, I had similar thoughts about West Ham and this fixture being tricky for Salah, and I didn't captain him, and he came away with two goals in that fixture, okay. In a 3-1 win. Mm-hmm. And I think that Liverpool, like these numbers that you've been putting up so far, that they've taken it up a level this year. And so, again, Salah will be my go-to captain. But again, a bit like Brighton last week, it won't be straightforward for Liverpool.
No, I mean... Once you have a few bad game weeks, so I had a few red arrows in a row for a while, and there I'll take anything from a captain. When you get two or three captain blanks in a row, I'll take a goal, I'll take an assist. That'll be fine. You know, we can't all captain Reece James when he appears and when he scores a brace and gets a clean sheet. So I'll take that.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, and I think maybe our expectations after what had happened in the previous weeks, it may be gone. You know, he's not going to score a hat trick every week. He's not going to get three attacking turns every week. But what's important is he's ticking over and he's not blanking.
No.
And that's that kind of consistency which we all look for in a captain. I mean, we should probably mention Mane as well, just briefly. Scored again at the weekend. Seven returns in 10 appearances. But it doesn't feel like he's at that level of Salah. Not as explosive this year. But, of course, we've got to mention him.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, you mentioned about West Ham's defence as well. So, as you said, there could be a weakness on their left. Therefore, Salah could exploit that. So let's have a look at this whipping poise table. This is the defences, the worst defences over the last four. And if you go right to the bottom here, the bottom of this table, as in the best defence, it's West Ham, so that's conveniently annoying for us. And it would, I mean, if we hadn't have had those multiple returns from Salah and Liverpool weren't on that amazing streak of attacking form, we would ordinarily look at the stats of the opponents and go, well, West Ham are not, I'm not going to captain someone against West Ham, but yet we still are.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I mean, I wouldn't, if this was any other team apart from Liverpool, I'd be seriously looking at other options this week. But it just seems, you know, you talked about that effective ownership, almost 200%. It feels like a dangerous game betting against Salah at the moment. Whether or not that will be the case a few weeks down the line, I'm not so sure. But certainly this week, this feels like the one to the player to target for captaincy, I think.
Definitely. I mean, looking at this table, though, if anyone was to go different, they feel that Salah might get a return, but they're gonna gamble for multiple returns, you would think that a team playing Villa, Manchester United, Watford, Newcastle, Everton, indeed and Norwich could be the place to go because they are on paper a much worse defence. So, looking at expected goal involvement. So, look, Salah's going to be top of this. So, it's not a spoiler. Everyone knows this. So, this is expected goal involvement over the last four game weeks. Yes, Salah in league of his own. So, once again, it's all pointing to Salah. Captain Salah, doesn't matter about the defence. He's playing, even though West Ham is currently the best in terms of expected points. But, yeah. Aubameyang faces Watford. I mean, I'm trying to pick out anything. I mean, is Aubameyang a worthy captain this week?
I think if you're looking at options outside of Salah, you would have to be in the conversation. I mean, Arsenal have looked a lot better. They switched to this kind of 4-4-2, 4-2-3-1 formation against Villa and looked a lot better. They've got Lacazette and Aubameyang playing through the middle. Lacazette's been dropping a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Aubameyang has penalties. They've looked better since that initial kind of start when they were really struggling. But against Palace a few weeks ago, they were a bit inconsistent in that. And we haven't quite got that consistency, but they are improving. And I suppose it's as much about the opponent. I mean, you could see Watford on the table that you just linked to before, but they're struggling, aren't they? I mean, they haven't kept a clean sheet all season, along with Newcastle. They're the only two teams yet to record a shutout. And Ranieri needs time, doesn't he? He needs to get some new players in. And at the moment, he hasn't got that opportunity to do that. And I think outside of that Liverpool fixture with obviously Salah, this is probably one of the ones that you're looking at thinking, Aubameyang looks like a pretty good option this week.
I think that if anyone does own Aubameyang, I think they have a genuine choice to make here. Because this is an Aubameyang owner of many seasons. This is exactly the fixture I would think, I'm going to captain him. If he was against Norwich, for example, it would be the same one. He does punish these weak defences, and Watford, are basically a bunch of kittens when it comes to their defence at the moment. I just want to take a moment to thank those that have joined us in the live chat. Well over 300 of you have joined us this lunchtime, which is great. Got Joshua, David, Nick, Chris, Matthew, Martin, and Metallica. I wonder if that's the full band, Metallica, or just maybe a representative of them. But thank you so much for joining us. I just want to mention something that Joshua mentioned. A couple of weeks ago, I put a tweet up saying those without a premium striker, those wildcarding without a premium striker. So we have mentioned Aubameyang there. There's also Vardy and Kane and Ronaldo to consider. And those without, I wondered, what's your plan? Are you just going to hope that they don't become good or try and get them in? And Joshua has reminded me of that. Reminded me of that tweet, and he says that he agrees with that, and he thinks that now could be a time when people might move back to those premium strikers. It's a segue into Spurs. Now, before we came on air, you said you've been doing a little bit of research about Conte, who is the new manager of Spurs, which is I hope good news for Kane and Son owners.
I think so. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Conte. Mm-hmm. Going back over the years from when he was at Chelsea and Juventus before that. But it's a massive appointment for Spurs, isn't it? I mean, he's just a serial winner wherever mm-hmm. he goes. He wins titles. You would expect them to set up in a back three formation, whether or not that's a 3-5-2 or a 3-4-3. But that is certainly what we would expect of him. But he normally starts well at his clubs. He gets his ideas over pretty quickly. They've got a UEFA Conference League game on Thursday first before Everton at the weekend. Mm. And suddenly, I mean, I'm a Kane owner. I think you are too.
So
I got him in, and suddenly from, you know, after the performance at the weekend against United, I'm thinking, is this a problem? Suddenly now it feels like a bit of an opportunity.
Oh, no. I'm getting the ticker tape out. I think this is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's still, I think he's about 6.4% owned. He's on penalties. And there were some Conte quotes which I saw this morning, which is he spoke about Kane during when he was doing some punditry work at Euro 2020. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how to get the best out of Kane and that he wanted him always in the box, which suggests that maybe what we've seen with Kane in recent years is him dropping that little bit deeper. Maybe Conte is going to use him closer to goal and use others in that kind of supporting role. So it's going to be really interesting. Son as well looks like a great option. And it's going to be, I mean, if it's going to be a 3-5-2 with Son out of position up front playing off Kane, I mean, it could be... it feels like you want to get on board these players early for me, because I'm pretty bullish about how Conte will do at Spurs. I think it's a good appointment.
Yeah, and I mean, we're going to talk about this in much, much more detail on the Scoutcast tonight. So, you know, do tune into that. But one of the things that we'll be discussing is this sort of dilemma that fantasy managers have at the moment. Yes, they're excited that Conte's coming in. Nuno, the defensive coach, has gone. The king is dead, long live the king, and all of that. But there is also those who think, oh, my glass is half empty, and Kane's body language is poor, and they're poor players. And the Spurs have invested, but the investment hasn't been good over in recent years. So as a team, they're not good. But then, people might cast their minds back to the Italy squad, his Italy squad of 2016. There was a post, Gianni posted something on Twitter. Gianni, who does much of our content as well, and an Italy fan, was saying, well, you know, look at their front line there. And it was pretty, I mean, on paper, it was Eder, Pella.
I mean, he gets the best out of his players, doesn't he? Which is the sign of a good coach. Everybody seems to raise their level. I mean, into the last time he was there, he had Lukaku and Martinez up front, which were absolutely incredible. At Chelsea, he used Diego Costa and then Hazard playing off him. But even with lesser players, like you say, he gets them to raise the level, which is what he's going to need to do at Spurs, because although we're looking at that front line with Kane and Son thinking, ready-made world-class finishers. You look at other areas of that team and you think of the centre backs and the centre midfield and you think he's going to have to get the best out of them if he really wants to kind of get back into those Champions League places and then push on for a title challenge. But it all feels really exciting at Spurs now, and I totally get people saying, well, Kane has looked terrible so far, Spurs have looked terrible, but as FPL managers, we've got to kind of predict what is to come. And it depends if you want to wait to see something before reacting to it, or if you want to think, well, look, I'm going to take a bit of a gamble here, get on board early and try and get that Kane haul while he's still 5-6% owned or whatever it is. And I think it's quite encouraging looking at that fixture this weekend against Everton as well. I covered the game for Scout last night at Wolves. Started off in a 4-4-2, a narrow 4-4-2. They were absolutely terrible for the first 30 minutes. They then shifted to a 4-5-1 and they looked a little bit better. But even so, Jimenez, Huang, Semedo caused loads of problems for them. And they've got a few injuries as well at the moment, Joe. They've got they've got Decore out, they've got Calvert-Lewin, Digne and Mina were out last night. So, yeah, suddenly this feels like a pretty good fixture. We saw what Watford did at Goodison a couple of weeks ago. They went there and won 5-2. I'm not saying that's going to happen again, but there's obviously a defence which you can get at if you attack them in the right way.
I've got a picture of Conte up hugging Lukaku, just showing the impact that he can have on a team, and one of his former teams there, Inter. But I've got some figures there for Son and Kane, showing that they still are having a go. You know, Son has had 13 shots inside the box. Kane has had 10. Kane's expected to be involved in around 3 goals, Son 4. And Son's created 17 chances, and Kane is still creating chances. He's had one less game as Son as well, so it's unfair to compare their figures, but they're just there to show this is them being bad. So let's have a look and see what Conte does with them. Also, think about Kane. Now, I've been a student of Kaneology for a number of years now as my captain. I think he always looks awful. He always looks miserable. He's always dropping deep. I always regret captaining him until he scores a brace in the 85th minute and 86th. It doesn't. I'm not sure what people are seeing about Kane in particular, but I think they're putting two and two together and making five. He couldn't go to Manchester City. Rumour that's where he was going to go, and that fell through. And now he's completely unhappy and he's going to chop his legs off and never kick a ball again. It just doesn't seem the way. He looks as miserable and dropping deep as he's ever looked to me.
Yeah, and we all know what he's capable of. And that's why in those kind of matches, even when he isn't involved, we know what he can do. He has been kind of like ambling around a little bit, maybe too much from what I've seen him over the past few games, but Conte coming in, he's not going to stand for that, is he?
No.
He won't play if he's got that frame of mind. So I think Kane will fully get behind this appointment.
Yeah, Kane.
I think he'll react. You know, he wants to win a title, doesn't he? And there's no better manager to bring
it's,
in.
It's so. Telling, isn't it? Steve Bruce, a lot of people thought, you know, not the greatest of managers. People have got their views about him. But when he left, do you sat St Maximum's essay about how wonderful he was, and there were other tributes as well, and now Nuno's gone. I might be wrong here, I haven't seen a single thing from a Spurs player. I haven't seen a message from Kane. Hey, see you later, boss. Hey, have a great life, you know, none of that. It's all like just total silence. They can't wait for him to go.
I don't think, he wasn't there long enough, was it? I mean, it seems crazy, like 4 months that he's out the door already. But he hasn't built up any relationships with any of the players or anything. So, I just think this is going to revitalise them. And I think that, you know, Son and Kane, I've got Kane, might look at Son myself, possibly after the Everton game, once the fixtures ease. But let's see how they're getting on Thursday. Yeah. I don't know, Conte won't have had much time with them. But let's see what he says in his press conference and then take some decisions
We'll just be discussing Spurs more on the Scoutcast, as I said. And but for the purposes of this, the captaincy video, my vice-captaincy is on Kane. So if Salah doesn't show up, I'm going for Kane. If Salah, was an injury doubt or something, then I might consider going for Kane as well. So there we go. There are other players, though. So it's barrel scraping time. Let's look at the fixtures. Just looking at others, we mentioned for example, Aubameyang against Watford, Kane or Son against Everton, who, as you said, looked pretty poor defensively. Tony's in the thumbnail for this particular video, and I think owners would be advised perhaps to vice captain him against Norwich. But I don't know, what do you think? I'm not a Brentford attack owner. I can't work them out whether they're worth even investing in, let alone captaining.
I like Brentford. I like them a lot this year. They have obviously had that poor performance at the weekend, which coincided with Raya being out as well. He's obviously a long-term injury. That is going to have a bit of effect on them defensively. Mm. But for Tony, you know, I like Tony a lot. Mm. I watched him last year in the Championship. I think he's a very good forward. I am a little bit concerned by his lack of goal threat this year. He seems to be dropping that bit deeper, and then players like Mbeumo have been benefited by getting beyond him. He's on penalties and he's playing Norwich. Again, it's the opponent which is the real appeal here. Norwich just look out of ideas.
They're gone, aren't they? I don't know how they're here. It's just embarrassing to watch.
Well, they just, you watch them at Leeds and they were in the game for a bit, and then they concede and then they just revert to the norm. And so it's a good fixture. I think for me, if I don't own Tony, I may look at him this week. But I think, again, it's one of those players where probably owning feels enough rather than captaining. Okay. Just because that Brentford performance at the weekend was a little bit worrying. Hopefully it was a one-off, though, because I do like them. But let's see how they get on.
The false nine at the best team in Europe, Trossard of Brighton, could be a player to go if you want to take a wild pump. I mean, Trossard has form for big hauls, and he just scored against Liverpool.
Yes, he played well at the weekend, didn't they, Brighton? Okay. Very impressed. 2-2 at Anfield. I don't know, will Maupay come back in this weekend maybe for this tie, or was it a specific tactic at Liverpool to kind of use that false nine?
It's hard to tell. Yeah. It's so flexible, that squad. Either way, I think Trossard will be either up front on his own, or he'll be
just in support.
Just supporting. Either way, he's against Newcastle's defence.
Well, I seem to recall him doing well in this fixture last year, wasn't it? In the big blank, and a few people did captain him, didn't they, for this one? And I think it's 3-0 in the end, wasn't
it? We're sowing the seeds for the Mavericks.
Sowing the seeds. Well, it's a good time to play. Good time to play Newcastle. Obviously, we've got wind that Emery may be in charge by the weekend, but obviously, again, very limited time to work with that team. So I can't imagine him coming in instantly and turning them to a very good defensive side. So, good fixture for Brighton, no doubt.
Big thanks to Sam Robertson in the chat. He's urging people to slap that like button. We've got well over 500 of you have joined us, and just 60 likes. It was going up gradually. People are slapping it, liking it, whatever. Thanks a lot for that. Please do press that like button, and also remember to subscribe. Anyone else to consider, especially for those Mavericks out there?
Well, there's a few. I mean, we should talk about that Chelsea fixture. Mm. I mean, home against Burnley, but the problem is with Chelsea is that the points seem to be spread so much around the team that it's hard to pinpoint that specific player which we're going to go for. I suppose you'd probably have to say Havertz. It's probably his last game for a while leading the line. It sounds like Lukaku and Werner will be back after the international break. But then watching Havertz, it feels like he's maybe been creating space for others to benefit from. But if you've got an out-of-position midfielder leading the line for Chelsea at home against Burnley, we've got to talk about him. But maybe it's one of the wing-backs there, you know, James or Chilwell that people would look to. James looked so good at the weekend. There might be a bit of uncertainty around a start, which there always is, but maybe that Malmo lineup tonight will help us a bit. I'd be a bit worried about Chilwell. I seem to recall Tuchel earlier in the year when they played against them, he used Alonso, and he specifically said after the match that he wanted him in there for that height to help them with set pieces. Maybe that's changed since then, but just those little things might make me kind of back off captain. I'm not a massive fan of captain in defenders anyway. No. But that's a fixture we should talk about. But also Southampton Villa as well. Good fixture. You know, Villa, my team are in free fall at the moment.
Yeah.
So
I've got Armstrong, and I'm very annoyed that I benched him last week. I don't think I'm going to remove him for the likes of Tony. I like him for this fixture.
Yeah, well, I put him on the bench as well last week, and then I was fortunate enough to get him off the bench because Mbeumo didn't show up and Tierney didn't either. But yeah, it feels like he started with Che Adams at the weekend, and Brozier was out, of course. Now we'll get an update on Brozier. I think I chatted to Neil last week about it, and he seemed to think that it was either Brozier or Che Adams competing for the place in the team, and that Armstrong is maybe up against somebody like Redmond, who's come in and played as a support striker, which is good news for Armstrong if that is the case. But we'll see what Hasenhüttl
I
says.
was because as an Armstrong owner, I was umming and ahhing about playing him, and I thought he I and I was but then I was looking at things like the Southampton Daily Echo and talking to some Saints fans, and weirdly, I think it could be the other way round. I think he sees Armstrong as a number nine, Brogier as a number nine, Che Adams as the ball carrier,
And
and
then he's with Redmond.
Redmond.
There's,
And
yeah, well,
so
that's
he's looking at
interesting.
Armstrong, Che Adams, Brogier, Che Adams, and Redmond can go out where. And there could be something in that, because
Yeah,
otherwise
well,
he would
that's
have
what
played
we
Che
need to
Adams
work
and
that out.
Redmond.
Well, yeah, we need to work that out, don't we? So, ideally, not wanting to wish injury on anybody, but Brozier misses another week, and we can all kind of go in with Armstrong with a bit more confidence.
I also wish no ill on the lad, but I do
Yeah.
hope that he is
He needs the
resting.
international break. He needs that international
He
break to get
does. He
over it, doesn't
does.
he?
He
And
does
Villa, I
definitely.
mean, like I touched on Villa, I mean, we switched to a back four against West Ham. We were terrible. We've got Konsa suspended after his red card. We're awkward defending set pieces. So who do you not want to come up against? James Ward-Prowse. I don't think it looks good for Villa on Friday. I'm not too optimistic about that one. So again, captaincy might be a bit of a push, but if you've got your Livramentos or your Armstrongs, then you might want to look at starting them this weekend.
Yes, I think we both of us have veered off the captaincy discussion because, as it goes back to the start, it's
Yeah,
Salah.
one player we should mention though about captaincy, which we haven't, Jamie Vardy at Leeds.
Now, why is this a good fixture for Jamie Vardy?
I think that Leeds sometimes struggle with players like Vardy, who are very direct, who run at them. Leeds have been putting up some better defensive numbers recently. I think if you go back to the table, they're looking okay, but they have played Norwich and they've played Watford during that time. So we've got to take into account the strength of the opposition. Leicester changed shape at the weekend. They went to a 3-4-3 at half time. So they played with players like Harvey Barnes and Lookman in the second half, which meant Iheanacho came off, but Vardy remained. I think Salah is the one for me this week, but then there's a kind of a group of your Aubameyangs, maybe your Kanes, and I think Vardy falls into that group as somebody. If I was going to go against Salah, I'd be very tempted by him, I think, as a differential captain.
Yeah, I think Rafinha as well. I think there's a return there for Rafinha. And finally, just before we go, we haven't mentioned Manchester United against Manchester City, and I'm
No.
presuming you probably have the same thoughts on this that I have. I have no idea who is going to play and who, well, certainly from United's point of view, and who to captain and who is going to score points. I would not know, so I'm not going to bother.
I think you're right. And I think the fact that United did look a bit more solid in that new formation at the weekend, it's not like they're coming off the back of that hammering over Liverpool where we're looking at players to target them. It's a derby game. I think Solskjaer's learnt from that Liverpool approach. And you probably look at Foden, if anybody. But again, that Champions League lineup's going to be key, isn't it?
It's time for us to go. We've pretty much decided on captaining Salah. There's lots of issues there. It's the strategy of playing the game. 200% effective ownership. You can't argue with. But you also can't argue with his stats as well. But hopefully, we've given people some thoughts on vice captain, and also hopefully, we've given some people some thoughts if they fancy betting against Salah. And I think there are lots and lots of other good captaincy options available. But in the meantime, Tom, thanks so much for joining me, and good luck with your inevitable decision to captain Mohamed Salah.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having me, Joe.